Okay, today's daf is Brachos Daf Mem Beis. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him so much for the continued sponsorship. We are holding five lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Aleph Mem Beis Sha'alu Es Ben Zomen. We're in the middle of the sugya of what patters other food from a bracha, particularly if a person has desserts, whether that requires a bracha, other food that's brought during the meal, whether it requires a bracha, does the bracha on bread patter everything? So we're also going to discuss a lot about the bracha of wine, whether the bracha of Bari Pri Hagafen and patters all other wine. The Gemara is going to discuss that when a person says amotzi, whether a person should say amotzi or birch samazon on pasabah bekisnin as well, and how exactly we define kaviyu suda when it comes to pasabah bekisnin. Then the Gemara is going to have a discussion, four different shitos, about when a meal is considered to be over. That's important because once you consider the meal over, if you then decide to eat more, you're going to need a new bracha. So we're going to have four shitos when a meal is considered to be over. And that's going to lead us into a discussion of mayim achronim, which leads into a discussion of four things that require takeuf, that need to be one immediately after the other. Because one of those things is takeuf l'netila bracha, that right after a person washes mayim achronim, he's supposed to go straight into the bracha. The Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about the wine and the parperes that people eat before a meal, whether that exempts from a bracha during a meal, and how bread exempts from certain brachos, and what it takes in order for one person to be motzi others in a bracha. And the Gemara is going to have a lot of discussion about the bracha of yayin and when it patters other things on when it patters other yayin on Amud Beis. And then at the very end of Amud Beis, we're going to discuss if a group sits together, when one person could be motzi everybody else, and when do we assume that each person has to recite their own individual bracha. So let's begin Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. We're five lines from the end of the page. Sha'alu es Ben Zoma. So they asked the Shaila to Ben Zoma as follows. Why is it that Rav Papa said yesterday, they didn't ask Ben Zoma about Rav Papa, Rav Papa lived much later than Ben Zoma, but they were asking about that thing that we learned yesterday from Rav Papa, that apparently must have been an older tradition, that which comes, Machmas HaSeudah, that which is brought to be part of the Seudah, in middle of the Seudah, does not require its own bracha, not its own bracha Rishona, nor a bracha Achrona. Some of them, he said, very simple. Oh, a little pas potaitan, because you start the Seudah with the bracha of Amotzi Lechem and Aretz, and that patters everything that you're going to eat during the meal. So they said, Yihach, Yainami Niftere pas. Well, if that's the case, then the pas should also patter the Yayin from a bracha, meaning you should not have to say Bar Pri Hagafen on the Yayin when you already said a bracha on the pas. That's at least how the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rav Yah understand that they're specifically talking about, they said specifically that it's talking about where you soak the bread in the wine. So saying if you're soaking the bread in the wine, then the bracha on the bread should cover the wine. That's how they must understand. That's according to Shitas Rashi, because Rashi holds that Dvarim Habaim Machmas HaSeudah are only things that are Nechal Im HaPas. That you can only call something Dvarim Habaim Machmas HaSeudah if you mamish eat it with bread. So the only way the Gemara could have a Hava Amina, that wine would not require its own bracha, is if you mamish eat it with bread. But Tosfos understands differently. Tosfos says, no, we're talking about a person drinks wine in the middle of the Seudah, because Tosfos holds Dvar Abba Machmas Seudah means something that's eaten as part of the Seudah. It doesn't have to be mamish with bread. So that's what they were asking about. Why do you have to say Bar Pri Hagafen on the Yayin? Shouldn't the Bracha on Pas cover the Yayin as well? So says Gemara, no, shiny Yayin. Yayin is different. The Gorin Bracha Liatzmo, because Yayin causes its own Bracha. So Rashi says, what does that mean? There are lots of times in Judaism where we have a kos of yayin and no one's thirsty, no one's even in the mood for wine. You're at a wedding under a chuppah, you're at a bris milah at 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, no one's in the mood for some sweet kedem wine at that time. But we have yayin, we have a kos of yayin, so that's what makes yayin chashuv. Kiddush, havdalah, birchas chazan, all of these things, shev brachos, we always have yayin, a kos of yayin. So that's what it means. It's gorim, its own bracha, and because of that, it has a certain chashivus that's not going to be covered by the hamotzi. That is how Rashi understands. Not all the Rishonim agree that that's what gorim bracha liatzmo means. Rabbeinu Chananel says that it means yayin patters all other drinks. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that's good that does show the chashivus of yayin, but that's not what Gorin Bracha Liatzmo sounds like it means. The Rashbam also suggests, and Tamid Rabbi Yonah, Tosa Rush, and others suggest that the Bracha of yayin is unique. What it means, Gorin Bracha Liatzmo, is what we said way back, the Gemara spoke about on Daf Lamed Hay, that unlike Zayas, where once you squeeze it, it's and you get the oil, it's still Ha'etz, it doesn't get it, it doesn't elevate to a new Bracha. When you squeeze a grape and you get yayin, it elevates to a new Bracha. It's unlike every other pre, you squeeze out the juices, it downgrades, right? It goes from Bar Priyates to Shahakal when you have orange juice, according to most poskim. But when you squeeze out grapes and you get yayin, it upgrades the Bracha. So that's what it means, it's Gorin Bracha Liatzmo. The Arzarua says, no, Gorin Bracha Liatzmo is a din that you have by yayin, that let's say you're in the middle of a Suda, and then they bring out a new bottle of wine. So it's a Bracha, Hatova Meitiv. So whatever it is, whichever pshat you go with, they're all just trying to express that yayin is a very chashuv thing. And because it's a very chashuv thing, it's not going to be covered by the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. Now, at our su'udos that we have like a Shabbos meal, so we already cover the yayin betel chasuda from the yayin at the beginning, from the kiddush that we say. But typically speaking, the Gemara is saying, if you just have yayin that comes in the middle of the su'uda, it is going to require its own bracha. Just a point parenthetically, they said they asked this Shaila to Benzoma. Benzoma is a little bit of a funny name because it's not a name. It's he's the son of, but who is he? So it's a little bit of an unusual name. So Benzoma is Rabbi Shimon Benzoma. The Gemara Maseches Chagiga tells us that Benzoma was one of the four people that was Nichnas Lepardes, that got to see what was going on, sort of Me'achorei Apargod. He went up to the Rakia using Shem Hashem. So the Gemara says that he looked at the Shechina and he was Nifka. He was very negatively affected by looking at the Shechina. He went out of his mind because of it. So the Rashi writes that Benzoma and also Ben Azai never got smicha, but they were the greatest chachamim of their generations. Why is he called Benzoma and not Rabbi Shimon? So the Bartanura in the fourth parak of Pirkei Avos says that Benzoma never got smicha and he didn't have arichus yamin. So people who died young, they would typically call them by their father's name because the parents lost the child at a very young age. He never really had an opportunity to grow into adulthood properly, so they would be called Ben so-and-so. So that's why he has the name Benzoma according to the Bartanura. Okay, Vaiter in the Gemara, top line of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Ravuna achal tleisa rifti. Ravuna once ate 13 loaves of pasaba bekisnin. That's the point. It was cake. B'nei tlasa tlasa bekava. And of these 13 loaves, if you put three of them together, you'd have one kav of where the kav is a certain measure of food. V'lo barach. And yet he did not recite birch samazon. He didn't. Lo barach. It just says he didn't recite a bracha. We assume this means after he finished eating. That's how Rashi says that after he finished eating, he did not recite a bracha. The Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah say that Shita Sarif is that he didn't say any bracha at all. Not Birch Samazon, not Alamichya, nothing. But he says Yesh Mefarshim that he didn't say Birch Samazon, but he at least did say Bori Nefashos. The Rambam and the Rash and the Shulchan Aruch really in Simen Kuf Samaches Sivav says that no, he didn't say Birch Samazon, but he did say Alamichya, because Achilles Pasavah B'Kisnin, if you're not going to be Koveh Asuda, may not be Mechayev Birch Samazon, but it's certainly Mechayev and Alamichya, and that's clearly what we paskin. If you eat a shear of Pasavah B'Kisnin, not a shear of Kviyah Suda, but a shear of Chash of Pasavah B'Kisnin, so that's certainly going to require an Alamichya, and that's what Rav Huna did as well. So Amalei Rav Nachman Adi Kafna, Rav Huna says, all these loaves that you ate, because you're starving, it's not, you didn't eat them like Pasavah B'Kisnin, you ate them like it's a whole meal. You were Koveh And he said, because of that, if it's you eat an amount that normal people would be Koveya Su'uda on, then you need to bench on it, even though you personally maybe are not Koveya Su'uda, because it doesn't depend on you. It depends on what a normal person, there's a concept we have all over Shas, Batla Daito, Etzel Das, Kol Adam. We had earlier in this Masechta as well, that even though Yayin is Soed as Halev, you don't say Birch Samazon because it's not normal to be Koveh Asu'udah L'Shem Yayin. So even a person who is Koveh Asu'udah L'Shem Yayin, we said back in Daf Lamed Hey, it's not normal. But whatever normal people do, that's what you have to conform to in that sense, in the halachos of reciting a bracha achrona. So now the Gemara had said that what the bracha achrona that you say on Pasavah B'Kisnin, the Rabbi Yehuda Ava Asik Le Lebrei, pay Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva. Rav Yehuda was Meshadech his son to marry the daughter of Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva. So Aisul Kamayu Pasaba Bekisnin. They brought to the, in front of the guests, they brought Pasaba Bekisnin. So Kiyasa Sheminu to come Varchi Amotzi. When they brought this food, he heard all the guests saying Amotzi on the cake, on the Pasaba Bekisnin, on the appetizer. Some little, my tzitzi to Kashamana. What is this tzitzi that I'm hearing? Meaning, people often don't say the brachas out loud and clear. So he heard, the sounds of amotzi. So he says, "What's this amotzi? What's this tzitzi that I'm hearing with the bracha?" The Gemara has a similar thing in Maseches Menachos and Perakat Cheles. It says that Rav Ada Bar Ava used to say a bracha la'asos tzitzis. He said a bracha on the asiyas tzitzis, on the making of the tzitzis, even when he wasn't wearing it. So Rav Nachman says, "My tzitzi shamana." So also tzitzi because it sounds like that's the I guess it's a sound that pierces the ear a little bit. So that's what he said. I hear a sound of the tzadi. So Dilma Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz Kamer Berchisu. Wait, are you guys saying the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz? So Amri Lei in. They said it's exactly what we're doing. Titania Rabbi Mona Amar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Pasal Babakisim Varchna Le Hamotzi, because we learned from Rabbi Mona the name Rabbi Yehuda that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to say Hamotzi even if you're not Koveh Asuda. Vamar Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Mona, and Shmuel says we pass like Rabbi Mona, so that's what we're doing. So Amar Lahus, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ain't a lach Rabbi Mona itmar." I'm a Talmud of Shmuel, right? All over Shas, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. I'm a Talmud of Shmuel. He says, "Ain't a lach Rabbi Mona." You got it wrong. So Amri Lei. So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, "How could you say that Shmuel says ain't a lach Rabbi Mona?" Va'amaru da'amar mishmeid Shmuel. You're the one that taught us in the name of Shmuel lachmanios, which we're assuming in the Gemara is pasabah bekisnin. Now what we call lachmaniot are challah rolls, right? But the pasabah bekisnin. Ma'arvin behen, you can make an eruv chatzeros with them, umvarchan aleihem hamotzi, and you say hamotzi on them. So you see, you told us in the name of Shmuel that you say hamotzi on pasabah bekisnin, which is exactly what Rabbi Mona said. So how can you tell me that Shmuel didn't say that Shmuel paskened against Rabbi Mona? So Rabbi Yehuda answers, no, shayn yasim dekavasu dasayu alayhu, avlecha delo kavasu dasayu alayhu lo. It all depends if you're kaveh asuda on it. If you're kaveh asuda on pasabah bekisnin, yes, then you say hamotzi. But we're not going to say amotzi when you're not koveh asuda on the pasaba bekisnin. Now with the we're going to see later in the daf that if there's a chabura that gathers together to eat in a certain place, then one person could say a bracha for all of them. But that's only when you eat lechem, not when you eat other food. So that's why Rav Yehuda was laughing at the guests. One of the achronim explains the kedusha of bracha says that's why he was laughing at the guests because they were each saying their own bracha, right? He says shaminu dekamiv. Lashon Rabim, not Shamei de Kabarich, not a Lashon Yachid, that they heard one guy saying a bracha. So they must have thought that this is not an Achila Kavua. If everyone was saying their own bracha, meaning they held that this isn't Lechem. So you're saying, Lishi Taschem, that you hold that it's not Lechem, because you're all saying your own bracha, so why in the world are you saying Amotzi? You're saying the wrong bracha, meaning Manavshach. Either you hold it's bread, and therefore only one person should say the bracha for everybody, because you're being Kovea together, or you hold it's not bread, in which case you're saying the wrong bracha. You're not saying the hamotzi. That's maybe the understanding of the criticism of the mocking that Rav Yehuda did. So now the Gemara discusses what's considered the end of a meal. Because once you hit the end of a meal, you're not allowed to eat until you say a new bracha, until you bench and say a new bracha. So Rav Papa Yichlu Be Rav Huna Bereid Rav Nassan. Rav Papa once went to Rav Huna Bereid Rav Nassan's house to eat. They finished their meal, and then they brought out more food. So Shakla Rav Papa b'ka'achla, Rav Papa took more food and he ate it. So Armilei, they said to Rav Papa, lo sav lamar, gamar asu mila'achol, don't you hold of the halacha that once you finish your suda, you're not allowed to continue eating unless you bench and then you make a new bracha rishona, because by the gamar suda, you're being masiach das from the original bracha and from the suuda that you were already in middle of eating. That's how Rashi says that you would need to bench and say new bracha rishona. Tosa says, no, you just need to say new bracha rishona, but you're allowed to continue to eat with that new bracha rishon, you don't have to also bench first. But either way, that's not what he did. He was just eating. So Amar Lahus, Rav Papa explained, Silik Itmar, that no, the conclusion of the meal is signified by the removal of the table, not by just finishing eating. So the So if they remove the table or the bread from the table, that's the Gemara Achila. And we didn't do that yet, and therefore the meal is not yet over. Tosfos raises a question that we're not makbid about this. We were makbid the other way. We're makbid to keep the bread on the table at the time of benching. He says that's against our sugya. Our sugya sounds like you're mesalek the shulchan before the bracha. So he says the shulchanos in the times of Chazal were different than our shulchanos. They each had a personal tray table, that everyone had their own little table, so they'd be misalik the shulchan. We have even moved the 10-foot long table. You're going to bring it into the kitchen. So how do you? There is no siluk hashulchan for us. So for us, we just leave the bread on the table. It's more. We deem that more appropriate. Rav of Rabbi Zeira Yikla Beresh Kalusa. Another story that happened. Rav and Rabbi Zeira were once at the Resh Kalusa. Labasa desliku taka mikamayu. After they removed the table, shadrulu ristana. They brought out other pieces of meat, other dishes to eat. Mibe Resh Kalusa from the Resh Kalusa, Rava Achil, so Rava ate from it. Rabbi Zeira lo achil. Rabbi Zeira wouldn't eat because they were already misalik the shulchan. So he already had in mind that he's finished with the meal. So Amalei, Rabbi Zeira said to Rava, "Why are you eating? They already took away the lo sav lamar silek asum ilechol. Don't you hold of the halacha that once they were misalik the shulchan can't eat anymore?" So Amalei, anan atach the Resh Kalusa samchinan. He says that's when you're in your own house, but when you're a guest at somebody else's house, everything's unpredictable. Everyone has their own minhagim, their own practices, what they do. Sometimes you think, oh, they're benching, the meal is over, or they're bringing out dessert, the meal is over, but then their practice, they have conversation for another 2.5 hours. They just sort of like go with it. You don't know exactly what to expect at somebody else's home. We're at the Resh Kalusa's house. I don't know what to expect, and therefore I'm just so mech on the das of the Resh Kalusa. Amarav harugil b'shemen. If someone is used to anointing his hands with oil after he eats, so shemen ma'akvo. So long as he hasn't done that, he's still considered to be in middle of the meal, and therefore he's allowed to keep on eating. Amarav ashiki avin be'rav kahana amarlam kigonanan deregilinan b'mishcha mishcha ma'akvalan. He says, like someone like me, I always use oil at the end of the meal. So until I have the oil, I know that I'm still in the middle of my meal. V'las hilchsa kikolani shmeitza. But we don't pass on like any of this. We pass on Rav Chiya Barashi Amarav that there are three things that require immediately going from one to the other, that they need to be perfectly juxtaposed to each other. Take of the smicha shchita, that right after you do smicha on a carbon, you right away have to shecht it. You're not allowed to delay in between one and the other. You can't do anything else in between either, the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos. Take of means not to delay in terms of time, but also not to do anything else. Chayadim says that the Isser, according to the Rambam, to do something else is only an Isser midrabanan, midarais. It's just good enough that you shecht it in the Azara. The Yerushalmi derives take of the smicha shchita from the pasuk. Pasuk says v'samach v'shachat, and Rashi says we learn from the din shchita that comes right after the din smicha, like v'samach yadal rosh kabana v'shachat asof me'ol moed, that we always have that the din of shchita comes right after the din of smicha. So that's one take up. Take of Lagula Tvila. Another take of also doesn't relate to our sugya, just like take of the smicha shchita is not really nogea to our sugya, is that right after a person says Ga'al Yisrael, right away he's got to go into Shemona Esrei. It can't be mafsik between Ga'al Yisrael and Shemona Esrei. Rav Henkin writes that he was very bothered by the minhag that the chazan would say Ga'al Yisrael quietly. But it's based on this. The minhag is based on preventing people from answering Amen to Ga'al Yisrael, because you got to have Tekef Lagula Tfila. So in order to prevent people from saying Amen, the practice developed that the chazan would say it quietly. Rav Henkin said it's not the halacha. The halacha is that the chazan is supposed to say it out loud, and everyone is supposed to say it together with the chazan, and that way they're not going to say Amen because they're saying it at the same time as the chazan. Rav Chaim Kanievsky thinks it's a good practice. He says, okay, but they solved the problem another way, by the chazan saying it quietly. He doesn't see why Rav Henkin was so upset about it. That was something that Rav Henkin didn't like at all. Take of the Netilas Yadayim bracha, and then the one that's that relates to us is that right after Netilas Yadayim, you have to go right into Birchas HaMazon after you wash the Mayim Achronim, and you're not supposed to eat between the Mayim Achronim and the Birchas HaMazon. So that's one that's nogea to us that what is considered the end of the meal. So we had four possibilities, but it's only this fourth one that we paskan la'alacha, that we had said that when you finish eating, or when you move the table, or if you ruggle b'shemen after you use the oil. No, it's mayim achronim. Mayim achronim is what creates that sense of takef. The reason you have to do mayim achronim, we're going to learn in a week and a half from now, is because yadayim mizuhamos, your hands are dirty after achila, so you need to clean them. Or the Gemara says, because the Gemara says Maseches Chulin, a different reason, because of melech's dom, this is mesameyas ha'inayim, that if you have salt on your fingers and then you rub your eyes, it could turn a person blind if they have very coarse salt, if they have melech's domus. And that's particularly meaningful in when you consider the Gemara we just had the other day, that achar kol achila chol melech, that after everything you eat, you're supposed to eat salt. So he said, nowadays we're not so makbid about that anymore because there's salt in our food, so we don't need to have salt afterwards. But if they were to have actual salt after the meal, so of course there's always going to be salt on their hands afterwards. So that's why they had the din. That's why there is this din of mayim achronim. So you're not supposed to eat anything in between one and the other. Beis Yosef explains that the netila is like the beginning of the bracha. So as soon as you wash mayim achronim, you're not allowed to eat until you're mesayim the bracha. The tour writes that you're allowed to eat after netilas yadayim of mayim achronim because the netila is just a heschadas meachila. So as long as you say a new bracha rishona, that's okay. Meaning, what if I do want to say a new bracha rishona on another dessert that comes after I washed mayim achronim? I see a candy that I just want to take. Can I say shakoli b'dvaro and eat it? So according to the Beis Yosef, no, because the mayim achronim is considered to be part of birch samazon. So you can't be mafsik in the middle of birch samazon. But the Torah says, sure you can, because it's not about that mayim achronim is part of birch samazon. It's just a siluk from the meal that came before it. Okay, so I finished with that meal, but now I'm allowed to say a bracha and eat something that eat something new. So that's the idea of take of l'netila bracha. It is actually machlokes rishonim what take of l'netila bracha means. It does seem clear from Talmud Bavli that take of l'netila bracha is about mayim achronim, that after washing mayim achronim you're not allowed to talk, and that it's not about mayim rishonim, that after you wash netilas yadayim that you're not allowed to, that you have to right away say the hamotzi, right? That seems pretty clear in our Gemara. Rabbi Kivega in the Gilui Nashas points this out, but in the Yerushalmi says that Amar Rabbi Yosef Barbon, that anyone who's tokef l'netilas yadayim bracha ein asatan mekatrek ba'usa su'uda. That if a person does take of the netila bracha, then the satan's not going to be mekatrek during that meal. Well, wait a second. If it's mayim achronim, it's too late for what's going to happen during that. That meal is over. So what's going to happen? That must be about mayim rishonim. That's not about mayim achronim. So that's what the rishonim point out, that it has to be that it's about mayim rishonim. So Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Samach Vav quotes two deos, whether a person has to be careful not to break in between netilas yadayim and the bracha of hamotzi. Quotes two deos and says that tov lizayir, that we should try to be careful, that even though it's only Yerushalmi and not the Bavli, we should try to be careful. So that's our practice. We're careful that after we wash netilas yadayim, not to speak until we say amotzi. That's two deos, though. What there aren't two deos about is that after a person washes his hands, before he's recited netilas yadayim, that for sure you're not allowed to do. A lot of people have it backwards. They think as long as they haven't yet said the bracha of al netilas yadayim, after they wash their hands, or as they're washing their hands, they can still continue to talk. No, the bracha of al netilas yadayim is going on that netila. So that would be like saying a bar priyates, having a conversation, and then taking your first bite out of the apple. That's for sure considered to be a hefsek. The two deos is about in between the netila yadayim and the bracha of hamotzi. There are some people that have a practice that they lift up their hands and they say su'u yadechem kodesh. So I saw in the Panini Halacha section of the Masifti has a beautiful biur of this minhag of why they lift up their hands and they say su'u yadechem kodesh, because the Yerushalmi learns from that pasuk take of the netila bracha, that just like in the pasuk yadechem kodesh, that the bracha the Shem Hashem and the Yedeichem are next to each other, so it's a remes in the Tilis Yadayim Rishonim that you're supposed to be Magbia Yadav by Mayim Rishonim. The Gemara in Sota says, because we're afraid some of the water is going to go past where you wash. wash, and then it's gonna go past your wrist, and it's gonna become tame, and then it's gonna go back onto your fingers and be metame your fingers. So in the Yerushalmi, they bring this drasha, but not in the Bavli, because according to the Bavli, we're talking about mayim achronim, and you don't have to be magbia yadav. Adarabba, by mayim achronim, you're mashpil yadav. By mayim achronim, you let it wash all the salt off. You lower your hands. So the reason for the minute that some people lift up their hands and say su yadechem kodesh is they're lifting up their hands and then saying the pasuk from the Yerushalmi, which is all about tekev l'netilah bracha being about netilah sidayim at the beginning of the su'udah, and that's when you lift up your hands, as opposed to mayim achronim, which is at the end of the su'udah, where one would lower their hands. Okay, bottom line is that we do see that there is this idea that mayim achronim is what ends the meal, and therefore you have to recite the bracha right away after the mayim achronim, and there is no more eating covered by the original bracha once you wash the mayim achronim. Amar Abaye Afanu Nomer, he says, I got another example of a takeoff. Take of the Talmidei Chachamim bracha, that if someone who comes close to Talmidei Chachamim, he will find that there will be a lot of bracha in his life. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, when Lavan tells Yaakov, after Yaakov wanted to go back home, he says Nichashti, and then he says, Vayivarcheni Hashem b'kolech, that I did my Nichush, I figured out that Hashem has given me bracha because of you. So you see, what does it mean, because of Yaakov? Bezuchus Yaakov, Lavan was hanging out with the Talmud Chacham for all these years, and that's why he had all this bracha. Iba yisema mehacha, or maybe it's from the following pasuk. Shenamar, the pasuk says by Potiphar, vayivarech Hashem es beis haMitzri biglal Yosef. That it wasn't just Lavan's nichush, but it was here you have the pasuk being made. That why was Potiphar's house blessed? It was because of Yosef that Potiphar was zocha to bracha. So the achronim were bothered. Why do we need two separate? What was wrong with the first maramakom? What was wrong with learning from Lavan that we then needed to come on to Potiphar? So some suggest that Lavan and Yaakov had another relationship. He was a father-in-law and a son-in-law. So it could be that since son-in-law is like a son in a certain sense, so maybe that's why he was zocha to bracha, because of the son. But someone who's just a guest, who's not a family member, so that's what Ben Yoyada writes. Someone who's a guest and not a family member, maybe you would think that would not bring bracha. So that's why it has to bring the raya from Yosef as well. Ben Yoyada also suggests that Lavan had sown. The Gemara in Chulin Pei Dalet and Beis says that sown is ma'asher es ba'aleihem, that it causes ashirus. So he wasn't sure, why am I rich? Am I rich because of Yaakov? Am I rich because of the sheep? Right, we can't be absolutely certain about that, so that's why we bring from Potiphar. We don't know of Potiphar owning sheep in particular. Other achronim suggest that from Lavan you can't tell, because Lavan says nichashti. So we don't know if his nichush is correct. He did some sort of nichush, some sort of sorcery to figure out what his bracha is from. I don't know if that's right, but when the Torah is made that Potiphar's house was blessed on account of Yosef, so that means something to us already. The Chida writes that from the pasuk of Lavan you can't see that the bracha came taker. You just see that it was a long time that Yaakov spent there, so you don't know that the bracha is takef. Now, how soon is takef? Let's say takef the netilah bracha, and let's assume, like we say, that we're machmir lechatchila when it comes to washing mayim rishonim, that we should say the bracha of motzi lechem and aretz takef. So how soon afterwards does it have to be? So the Rama writes in Simon Kuf Samuk Vav that the amount of time between netil sidayim and amotzi should be less than the amount of time it takes to walk 22 amos. More than 22 amos is a hefsik. Where do you get that from? Tosus Maseches Sota Lametesa Medalev says this when it comes to Netil Sidayim for Birchas Kohanim, that the din of takeoff should be derived from takeoff the smicha shchita. How soon after the smicha is the shchita done? So the Gemara Maseches Vachim quotes a brisa that all the smichas that they did in the Mikdash would be right away before the shchita, except for the smicha of the Asham Mitzora, which had to be done in Sharni Kanar, because the Mitzora was not allowed into the Azara. So you see that he did a smicha, then they had to walk the animal into the Azara, that was 22 amos away. So you see, that would be considered a hefsik. Anything more than 22 amos is considered a hefsik. But less than that is not considered a hefsik. So that's the amount of time that it takes. Very often it's not feasible to have it all done, because you have a lot of people that are all washing and you're waiting for everybody to finish. But they should get a move on. They shouldn't just be hanging around in the kitchen schmoozing while some people have washed already. You have a din of takeoff, that things should be immediate. Okay, so then the new Mishnah, if a person has said a bracha on the wine that's brought before the su'udah, patras the yayin shalachra, Amazon. That will pater the dessert wine as well. Birachal parperish lefnei Amazon. If a person said a bracha on parperis, on something else, like an appetizer, small pieces of meat or fish or something like that, before the suda, patras a parperish lachar suda. It would pater the dessert food that they eat at the end of the meal. Birachal pas, patras a parperis. If someone said a bracha on bread, that paters other foods as well. Ala parperis, but if a person said a bracha on parperis, lo patras a pas, that's not going to pater bread. Beishami omrim, af lo maisa kedera. Beishami says, even not maisa kedera. What does that mean? Maisa kedera means something made out of the five grains, but it's not really bread. It's some sort of porridge or something. But what's he talking about? What's af lo maisa kedera? We're going to have to see that in the Gemara. A separate halacha, says the Mishnah, hayoshim kolechon varech la'atzmo. If the people are sitting, they're not reclining, they're just sitting, then each one says their own bracha. Hey, sebu, echon mevarech l'kulan. But if they do a seba, then one person says the bracha for everybody. And that's true of the bracha of Hamotzi and the bracha of Birchas Hamazon. Tosos points out, by both of them you need Haseba in order for one person to be mevarech for everybody else. There is a difference though, because by bracha Rishona, even if two people are just eating together and they're mesav, one person could say the bracha for the other. When it comes to bracha Achrona, they only become a chabura for bracha Achrona, where one person can bench for everybody if there's three. Right? If you have three people together, that's the if you have a mezuman. But short of that, each person should say their own birchas hamazon. If they have wine that comes in the middle of the meal, each person should say his own bracha. And one person should not make a bracha for everybody. Achar HaMazon, but they bring Yayin after the meal, Echad Mevarech L'Kulam, the one person says a bracha for everybody. Hu Omer Ala Mugmar, and the Hu Omer Ala Mugmar, the guy who says the bracha on Yayin, who's making the bracha for everybody, should also be the one that says the bracha on the incense that they would smell at the end of the meal. V'yav B'Shein Mevi'in Es HaMugmar Ala Achar Suda, and even though that's only after benching, and it's not really part of the Tzarkei Suda, nevertheless, the guy who said the bracha on Yayin at the end of the meal is the one that zocha to that bracha, because he was the one that got that started off all the end of meal ritual. So the end of meal ritual starts with the bracha on the yayin toward the end of the meal, and it goes right through the mugmar, which happens after the birchas hamazon. And generally speaking, the mitzvah is only nikreis al shem gomra. The Gemara says in Maseches Sota that the atzmos Yosef shar helu bnei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, that the bnei Yisrael took the atzmos Yosef out of Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says that's not true. Moshe took the atzmos Yosef out of Mitzrayim. Everyone else was busy getting the rechush of Mitzrayim. No, but they were gomer. They finished the job. So it's always good to be the one to finish the job. Hamaskul b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar. So the guy who started with the bracha and the yayin, he's the one that should say the brachos that are the part of the end of the meal ritual. This din that we said in the Mishnah, that the wine before the meal patters the wine after the meal, is only on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Hol v'adam koveas hudaso ala yayin. Since a person intends to drink a lot of wine during his suda, meaning even at the beginning of the meal when he's having that first kos of kiddush, he knows he's going to be having lots more wine, and there's going to be a dessert wine, and there's going to be more. Aval b'shayimos hashana, but where it's the rest of the days of the year, where it's not a Shabbos or Yantif, and a person doesn't have that much wine, mevarech al kol kos v'kos, then each kos of yayin is going to require a new bracha, because each time you don't know if you're going to have another one. You think you're not going to have another one. So then you would say a bracha on each kos. It manam yam rab bar mar yam rabbi shubin levi lo shana al b'shabas v'yam tovim b'shal shadim yotzim beis amerchot b'shal shakas dam hol vadim kaveh asuda sol yayin. Just adds a few more days to the list that were kaveh asuda al yayin. Not only Shabbos and Yom Tov, but also when a person leaves the beis amerchot and he's feeling a little bit faint, apparently that was the practice that to help them out, they would have some wine when they would be kaveh asuda on yayin after leaving the beis amerchot. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Nedarim that it's the derech to drink after leaving the Beis HaMerchatz, but over there it's not really talking about kosher yayin, it's talking about drinking warm water. But you see from our Gemara that there's also this din of a su'uda, and also hakasa sadam, after bloodletting. So instead of when you give blood, the orange juice and entiments that they have for you, so you'd have a whole su'uda with yayin, with a lot of yayin. It doesn't seem particularly healthy, but that's what they would do. They'd be koveh su'uda on yayin after these events. So then you would one bracha would pater all the yayin. yayin that you're going to have. But al v'shayim osashanim, v'rachal kol kos v'kos. But all throughout the rest of the year, you say a separate bracha on each and every kos. Rabbi Mari iklu be Rava b'chol. Rabbi Mari once went to Rava's house on a weekday. Chazi debaruch l'fnei ha-mazon, v'ha debaruch l'achar ha-mazon. He saw that he said a bracha on the wine before the meal, and then again a bracha on the wine after the meal. Amalei yasher, v'chein Rabbi Shimon Levi says, good job. That's what Rabbi Shimon Levi said, that that's what you're supposed to do on a weekday. Rabbi Yisrael bar Yosef iklu be Abaye b'yom tov. One time Yisrael bar Yosef went to Abaye's house for a meal in Yom Tov. Chazi debaruch akol kasa v'kasa. And he saw that he said a bracha on each coast. But wait, we learned that on Yantif, you're not supposed to do that. Samalei lo samar lamar lahad Rabbi Shimon Levi. Don't you hold of Rabbi Shimon Levi that on Shabbos and Yantif, one bracha covers it? Samalei, he says that I don't normally drink a lot of wine, and therefore nimlachana, after each kos of yayin, I'm convinced that it's my last kos of yayin. So that's why I'm saying a new bracha when each new kos of yayin comes out. Ibailu. Balam yayin betocha mazon. If they bring wine in the middle of the meal and they say bar piagafen, maushi yiftar say yayin shalachra mazon. Does that patter the wine that you can have after benching, before benching rather, after the suuda? Say im timslom berichal yayin shalachra mazon patter say yayin shalachra mazon. If you're going to say that the wine before the meal patters the wine after the meal, and that in mishum dezel lishtos vezel lishtos, but that's only because they serve the same function. Both of them are for the function of drinking for the wine itself. Aval hacha, but over here, dezel lishtos vezel lishros. But wine during the meal is to sort of soak up the food, to help digest the food. So it serves a different purpose. Maybe low. Maybe that doesn't work. Meaning, we said, yeah, that wine that you drink before the meal patters the dessert wine. But what about wine that you drink during the meal? Does that barbia gafen patter the dessert wine? Maybe there's no difference. So Rav Amar Poter, Rav Kahana Amar, Eino Poter. Machlokas Rav and Rav Kahana. Rav Nachman Amar Poter, Rav Sheish Samar, Eino Poter. Rav Hunder, Rav Yudav, Kol Tamid, Rav Amri, Eino Poter. So Machlokas Amarayim. Eisvei Rav, Rav Nachman. So Rav asks on Rav Nachman, Balem Yayin B'toch HaMazon Kalach HaVeachad, Mivarech La'atzmo, that if wine comes during the meal, everyone says their own bracha. And then we said, Li'achar HaMazon, and then when wine comes at the end of the meal, Echad Mivarech L'kulam. One person could say a bracha for everybody. But what are they doing? Why are they saying a bracha on wine at the end of the meal? They just had wine during the meal. Elamai, you see, that you do say a new bracha when wine comes at the end of the meal, even though you had wine during the meal. So Amalei said, no. There are two different cases. Hachi Kamar. What the Mishnah is trying to say is as follows. Im lo bolehem yayin betoch hamazon, elo liachar hamazon, echem varech lukulam. Meaning two separate halachos. Wine comes during the meal, everyone says their own bracha. If wine didn't come during the meal, but instead wine came at the end of the meal, then echem mevarech lukulam. So it's not a continuation of the same case. So the Mishnah had said that Beishamai disagrees with something the Tanakhama said. So Yibailu, Beishamai Aresha Pligi or Dilma Seifa Pligi? Is Beishamai commenting on the first statement of the Tanakhama or the second statement of the Tanakhama? We're going to explain. Dekamar Tanakhama. Tanakhama says first, if you say amotzi, that paters the other foods that you're going to have that are not necessary to fill your stomach, but just, you know, are tasty foods. They're just there to be gorer the achila. The kol shekein maisa kedera. And therefore, if a bracha on bread is going to pater, you know, little foods that just are gorer the achila, then for sure it's going to pater an actual tavshil, actual a food that has actual substance to it. And that's what Bishamai is disagreeing with. The lomi boy parperis lo patra lo pas, el afilu maisa keder nami lo patra. Where Beishamai says, I totally disagree. I don't think bread covers the parperis, and I don't even think bread is going to cover the maisa kedera. Oh, Dilma a seifa pligi, or maybe no. Maybe Beishamai is arguing on the seifa. Tikatani, the seifa says, birich ala parperis lo patra sa pas, that if a person says a brach on the parperis, it does not patra the pas. Pashut lo patar, av maisa kedera patar. Ooh, if you say a bracha on the parperis, apparently the Tanakhama is going to say it will patar the maisa kedera. So it's not about hamotz lechem and aretz. It's parperis. A bracha on the parperis is going to patar maisa kedera. Vas veshame lememar, afilu maisa kedera nami lo patar. That no, bracha on parperis does not patar anything. It doesn't patar bread, and it doesn't patar maisa kedera. But that's all Beishamai is saying. He's not saying that the bracha on pas doesn't patar maisa kedera, according to this version. So the Gemara says, which way does Beishamai hold? The Gemara says, teku. We leave it unresolved. It's interesting that we have a teku on Beishamai, meaning, if you'll teish b'min tishbi yitar tzkushas v'yibayos, why? Well, we don't pass on Beishamai anyway, generally speaking. So what do we need a teku for? So that's not really what the word teku probably. I mean, there is a tradition that that's what the word teku means, but more likely the Aruch writes that the word teku is milashon tik, that a person doesn't know what's inside of it because it's inside of a bag. So teku means it's mysterious to us, or teku means tehei kai, let it stand. That's what the Tos Yantif writes in Maseches Eduyos. That teku means that we have to let it stand because we don't know how to resolve the issue. The Chida writes that that some don't like. He quotes the idea of Tishbi Yitaritz Kushios Vibayos being what we all learned in whatever fifth and sixth grade. But he says that some are doche that perish. But it could be that it depends on context. That sometimes it means each of these things. Now this aligns with what Rav Shaphat always points out. Part of the notion of Eilu Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim. Even though we're only going to pask in one way and not the other way, is that Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim is not a rule in Psak Halacha, it's a rule in Talmud Torah. That we're Mekayim, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, even when we learn Shitas Beis Shammai, and we understand Shitas Beis Shammai really well. So the Gemara says, what is Beis Shammai Shita over here? Teiku. We do need to clarify that, because that's also part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up HaYosh and Kalecha V'Yachol.